Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Okay, I don't know if we have anybody out there, but we're trying to switch phone systems here. So well, I'm going to try something. Let's see if it works. Be patient with me. Okay. Let's see if this works.
It was almost 2 years ago that I started work on a small log cabin in the northern Canadian bush. And it has been exactly a year since I closed the cabin door for the last time and moved away. Finally, I got the chance to return, and I am anxious to see how the cabin has fared the last four seasons on its own. While most parts of North America are enjoying mild spring weather with no snow, my aluminum snowshoes are falling through waist-deep powder and temperatures of minus 20 degrees Celsius. Although this looks like January weather, would you believe that this is late April? It's been a long, hard winter here. Lots of snow and a solid month of minus 40 degree temperatures. There were even a few days that registered right around minus 50. It seems that the lynx population has been hit the hardest this winter. Several locals have reported that their dogs have been attacked by lynx along the hiking trails. Normally, lynx avoid this sort of contact with bigger dogs and humans, but the prolonged cold temperatures have forced them to make desperate decisions. It wasn't far from here that I spotted a mother lynx and her two cubs last year. And of course, I didn't have my camera ready at the time. On my way into the cabin, yet another lynx had silently stalked behind me for a short distance, but it eventually turned off my path and took a different direction. And I wouldn't have noticed it at all if it weren't for the footprints it left behind over my fresh tracks. In building the cabin, I wanted it to be simple for two reasons. Number one, because of the cabin's location, I knew that I'd be having to do everything by hand. Getting the equipment and supplies in, moving and hoisting the logs would all have to be done with good old-fashioned manpower. And reason number two, I didn't have a lot of money to work with, simple as that. And in this complicated world, simple just seems to offer more. Complicated offers bells and whistles, but simple. Simple offers freedom. Although some would argue that this cabin wasn't built to code, it is still perfectly legal. That's because it's built on privately owned property, and the local government doesn't require a permit for any structure that is 10 feet by 10 feet or under. And this log cabin just so happens to be exactly 10 feet by 10 feet. So yes, I'm aware that building my logs right on the ground without proper footings and not debarking them means that they will not last a full century, like they could have if I had done all these things. But that's just fine. These logs will probably last at least a quarter century without any need for repairs. And so far, the cabin has settled and dried out quite nicely, and the bottom rows don't show any signs of rotting in the near future. I am also aware that I'm using a tarp to cover the roof. And contrary to popular belief, it is not instantly disintegrated or even began to fade yet. Besides, tarps can be replaced easily enough and at low cost. So even if I have to replace it every 5 to 10 years or so, it won't be a problem. I'll just make sure to buy the heavy-duty kind. And yes, I know that there are gaps in my door and that it most definitely isn't bear-proof. But in the wintertime, when there's a draft, I just place a blanket over the door and it stays quite warm and cozy inside. As for the bears, I haven't had any try to come inside yet, and if they do, they're not going to find it too terribly interesting. There's no food, and I didn't leave any fine china behind for Mr. Bear to break. Anyway, I like the door, and so it stays, gaps and all. Did I mention that it used to be a coffee table? My point is, there will always be some who will find fault in this simple design, but all I know is that
okay, we're starting kind of late today, or real late today, and I'm trying to straighten out the phone system. We want to touch in on Maxwell S. Chikumbutso, innovative entrepreneur out of Zimbabwe, Africa. So let me, anyway, be patient. We're going to play this little musical interlude to switch phones up so it won't be an echo.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. We got started kind of real late today. trying to deal with these phones here. I had to, when we finally got back up, I had to call in on one of my smartphones to the regular studio, you know, where you guys call in at. And then, I had to use that phone to start the show on the master switchboard. And then, anyway, so we're here now. Today, and we're going to cover this guy more in detail at a later date, but I got him up already, and I want to introduce him. I mean, the topic of him, at least. We don't have him here in person. And I've been working on that. But anyway, Maxwell S. Chikumbutso, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. It's spelled C-H-I-K, Chikumbutso, K-U-M-B-U-T-S-O, Chikumbutso. I believe that's how you correctly pronounce it. He is an innovator, inventor, out of Zimbabwe in Africa, and I just absolutely love, matter of fact, I would say my personal preference when it comes to innovation is African innovation. They have really got some people ahead of the curve, way ahead of the curve, when it comes to innovation across the board. I mean, various technologies, natural resources, housing, electronics, a lot of it comes right out of Africa. So Maxwell S. Chikumbutso is one of those. And I have tried to the first person I got on, now I didn't get him on here. I'm still trying. He was snatched up before I can get him. A guy named William Kimwamba. Disney made a movie about him called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, out of Malawi. And I knew about him before he got on the radar, before he got on the Disney radar, so to speak. And I contacted him through Facebook, and I had maybe one little short chat with him, but when certain people swoop you up, they swoop you up, man. They got him out of Malawi. I believe they bankrolled a scholarship for him at Dartmouth University, Ivy League. But I'm still trying to get him. Now this other guy, well, matter of fact, before we go into Maxwell S. Chikumbutso, I'm going to play a quick bit that I played on here before called about the Rural Energy Foundation. And the Rural Energy Foundation, which is now Solar Now, primarily out of Uganda. They probably have some outlets in Kenya. But they're innovative, too. And then this is a little 4 or 5 minute clip. And then we're going to get right into Maxwell S. Chikumbutso.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this, because it remains the property of the clients. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves, our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts, so when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working. And then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people, saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tons of CO2 each year. Basil Okelo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from Solar Now retailers to get their businesses going.
Solar Now is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technicians, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here on homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we're happy. Of course, it's cold. The beer tastes better. And so I get more customers.
All right. So I left the Rural Energy Foundation. We had somebody that used to work for them, Julius Magala, on here. I think with the first year or within the first 24 months, probably the first year we started this live stream. In any event, and they're very innovative, because with the Rural Energy Foundation, which is now Solar Now, primarily out of Uganda in Africa, they have a business model where the rural African can afford it, all right? And if a rural African can afford it, there are other companies like Selco in India, the rural people, if they can afford it, the people in town can afford it. But they have some very innovative, very grassroots, you know, like you mentioned, solar barbershops and all that type thing, which can be done right in this country. Where in, but their business model is like, it really makes solar affordable, which right now is really not affordable to most people in this country. And it, they make it affordable where you don't need no special government grants and this, that, or the other to go solar. Now, today we are talking about introducing, at least, person Maxwell S. Chikumbutso, okay, and let me, oh, wait a minute, who's, okay, all right, I had to thank somebody real quick, okay, now, what the hell, oh, same message sent twice. All right. Well, let me get to Mr. Chikumbutso. All right. Let me read this article first. This inventor from Zimbabwe, and they're speaking about Maxwell S. Chikumbutso. This inventor from Zimbabwe can convert radio frequencies into energy. That's very innovative. Okay. Now, let's see. Maxwell Chikumbutso from Zimbabwe is a self-taught engineer who dropped out of school at age 14. He is known for having developed a green energy technology, which he asserts is revolutionary because it converts radio frequencies directly into clean and renewable energy. He affirms that he could not patent his work because he was told that his discovery violates the laws of physics. Now, I just read this article coming on today when we were, I guess it's one of the reasons why we were tied up getting on today. This is from, what newspaper is this from? The Morabi Post, wherever that's from. Okay, the headline reads, USA snatches top Zimbabwean inventor Maxwell Chikumbutso. All right, here we go. The United States government has given Zimbabwe prolific inventor Maxwell Chikumbutso, and that's spelled Chikumbutso. Look him up on YouTube. All right. The United States government has given, you know what that means, Zimbabwe prolific inventor Maxwell Chikumbutso a new home in his popular state of California. Chikumbutso is the founder of Saith Holdings, and that's spelled S-A-I-T-H, Holdings, Saith Holdings Incorporated, under which he made headlines for his serial innovations, which include the world's first ever green power generator, which can produce electricity using radio frequencies. This is one of the reasons, and there's a lot of guys like him over in Africa. I want to get over there on a regular to meet these guys before they get on the radar. See, he's on the radar now. He's on the radar. And I don't, to be honest about it, I don't like the fact that the United States government gave him a new home in California, to be honest about it. But that's a whole nother podcast. But in any event, what that means is, hold it now, he can take radio waves, radio frequencies, and convert them into electric power, you know, to run a car, and to run a TV. And look on YouTube for this stuff. You can see the videos of it. Which means every company around the United States, because most of them are monopolies, local monopolies, and put them out of business. A lot of people they'll be looking for new jobs, or they'll be looking for work for companies that Maxwell Chicken Butzo sets up. But in any event, he created a green power generator which can produce electricity using radio frequencies, an electric powered car which doesn't consume fuel, doesn't need gas or diesel, and a multi-fuel helicopter, and many more. According to Zimbabwean Observer Online, Chicken Butzo, from his base in the United States of America, see, his base used to be Zimbabwe. We need to do something to keep our talent home. Anyway, according to the Zimbabwe, he expressed disappointment that Africa did not see what the U.S. government saw in his groundbreaking innovations. Well, I guess we can go to the words of Jesus on this one. A prophet is never honored, or is usually never honored, in his own country. Maxwell dropped out of school, and many Africans, and there's nothing wrong with this thing, but many Africans like men are like really uber, uber high on education, at formal academic education. The more academic education you get, depends on what circle you are, and very, like in, not Uganda, but Nigeria. They're huge on academics and excelling in academics. But a lot of innovators historically have never been formally trained. I mean, Bill Gates, college dropout, first semester. Mark Zuckerberg, college dropout. Steve Jobs, I don't even know if he went to school formally. You know, he used to hang up on campus out there in California, but I don't know if he ever formally enrolled. But in any event, according to, let's see, the U.S. government saw that Africa did not, and California is now our home. The head of the office of SAIF Holdings, and you can look them up online right now, that's spelled SAITH, is Faith, drop the F and put up the S, SAIF Holdings, Inc. Look it up online. They have a website. I always love Africa. And I'm proud of being born and raised in Africa. I will surely come back to Zimbabwe, where everything started, said Chicken Butzo. See, what I'm concerned about is the patents and intellectual property, the licensing and all that. You know, when they send you back, what are you going to have? Chicken Butzo's journey started in 1997 when he started experimenting with various technologies while in Kuwadanza, K-U-W-A-D-Z-A-N-A, Kuwadanza. At one point, he was profiled on ZBTV as a prominent young man in the innovation industry. Here's another tip, people. I have my YouTube channel, but a lot of news out of Africa, different parts of Africa. because they often do stories on guys like this this Maxwell Chicken Boot Butzo. And a lot of those stories, although you can get online and reach them, I mean, become aware of a lot of people, but a lot of these stories are not covered in Western media. So here's, if you want to come across some innovations in all types of fields, go to YouTube and look up, you know, pick your favorite African country or countries, and a lot of them have their own channel on there, and they do a lot of features on people like this guy. He developed the first green power prototype generator, which produces 100% clean, consumable energy using radio frequencies. In 1999, he built his first successful project, which was a radio broadcast transmitter for which he made the headlines on ZBC News. I'd rather check out ZBC than NBC, but that's just me. He started broadcasting, though illegally. You know what? See, I hate that. Anytime government doesn't get their cut or their piece of the pie first, they got to be first in line, then it's branded illegal. But anyway, the project fell away due to lack of funding in 2001 under the mentorship of Rose Mazzulla, then broadcast Association of Zimbabwe chairman. He developed what he named the Digital Navigation Facilitator, which he used to facilitate landing of an aircraft from variables that include the size of the aircraft and the position and altitude and the speed and so on. He took it to air Zimbabwe Technical Training Center, where it was assessed and then given accommodation by aircraft engineers. He says it became the first addition to the modification of the Zimbabwean aircraft technology since 1980, even though he himself had never been in an airplane at the time. He took the invention to the Air Force of Zimbabwe, where the squadron leader and the technical team assessed the technology and confirmed it worked. However, due to lack of financial support, the project just fell away. And this happens a whole lot. Boy, if we can ever get the black church to bankroll some hobbyists. This guy started out as a hobbyist and taught himself how to become an engineer. A few years later, he met up with a lawyer, Bruce Mujiye, who introduced Maxwell to the idea of patents, which was by then to him an unfamiliar subject. Bruce bought into Maxwell's vision, volunteered to register the patent for free, and started providing financing projects. In 2003, Maxwell began to get ideas on creating self-powered generator. Through Bruce Maxwell interfaced with some prominent professors in Zimbabwe, who told him that it was impossible to create such a machine. He, however, pursued the idea of financing with little money, and he got a Hulage truck driver by 2009, the first prototype. And that's what engineers do. They take the impossible and make it possible. In any event, check them out. I'm going to see if I can get him on here some kind of way. But Maxwell S. Chikambutso, C-A-H-I. And I'm going to see if I can even get some audio. On here, hopefully, maybe by the end of this week. But very... Matter of fact, while I'm online right now, let's see. Okay. Let's see. I'm making a special folder just for him. Maxwell S. Chikumbutso. All right, I'm going to YouTube right now. And, man, okay. Maxwell Chikumbutso. He's on here, but I'll have to take the time later. There are plenty of videos on here about him. But I want to see if he has a YouTube channel. I mean, this guy's really taken off the grid, totally off the grid. Developing energy, I mean, imagine getting electricity to run anything in your home without even solar panels. You know, I'm big on solar panels. So before we cut out today, because we did start really late today due to some technical things here that we had to switch out with the phones, but we made it on. And we got plenty of time left, but if anybody wants to comment on Mr. Chikumbutso or any innovators, other African innovators, I'm going to try to track him down and get him on here. Okay. Let's see. I haven't found, well, hold it. The name of his company is, Seth. Seth, man, what is it? Seth, people calling me. Wait a minute. Let me go on my phone lines. I might get some help. 410 area code. Your mic is open.
When I got the text on this hotel, brother LA.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hotel, brother LA. When I got the text about this gentleman you're discussing now, that is revolutionary.
Very, very.
You know, J.P. Morgan put Tesla, the great inventor, under house arrest when he did something similar to that, when he was drawing electricity out of the magnetic field that surrounds the earth. And the FBI came in. I saw this documentary said that the FBI came in and confiscated all of his papers. And I just fear for this gentleman because
they done got him a house out in California.
I know, but brother LA, I'm telling you now, this thing is going to upset the whole economic system in America and the world. And the thing is,
globally, it's going to upset a lot of people.
The thing is, people have put a lot of investments in solar panels and conventional ways of delivering electricity. And this thing is going to wipe out
nuclear companies.
Yeah. So I fear for this gentleman. And here's the other thing. And I know you're going to have some heartburn with this. I just hope that he has all of his patents in place and he has all of his trademarks in place. Because the thing is, I don't trust the movers and shakers in this world when this thing is so revolutionary.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. That's why I don't know if you heard me say it on this stream today. I said that I don't like the fact that he's living in California right now.
Neither do I. I heard that.
I don't
do
like
I.
It.
And,
Because of everything you just said, because it's like taking something from the devil. You know
yeah.
it's strings attached.
That's right. That's right. And the thing is, just that thing that they moved him scares the hell out of me.
It does.
Because, you know, people
first,
don't
they
do
know
things.
Where he is, the roof over his head, and you know they made him sign something, you know, to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. People just don't give you stuff for nothing or
no.
have strings attached to it. And I'm
right.
just
it's
scared for the guy.
Right.
And now, I will say this, with it being with it harnessing power from radio frequencies, a computer can go in and generate millions, if not billions, of frequencies where you can download that energy and charge for it. I believe that it can, you know, because look, a computer can just go in and just manufacture ways to bring in certain frequencies. So they have a way of monetizing it. I just hope that he can gain financial gain from it, you know, and that's the thing. And I want to end on this. The subject you had yesterday on tables.
Yeah.
I would really like to readdress that again, because we didn't really get into.
Yeah, we went way left. You're right. Imagine if we get a table or tables around what this guy is doing with energy, with these radio waves.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. But matter of fact, what's today, Wednesday? Tomorrow Friday we'll probably get back to it. I'm going to combine tables along with this topic, this guy again. And so we can hit it at our regular time and start about 10 minutes into the program with the whole thing to give it enough time, because he ran it past the people in Zimbabwe first. They didn't bite.
Well, I'm skeptical.
But I don't know the whole backstory though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of that because, look, you're dealing with people that, well, I hate to say this, but not technologically advanced,
right.
And the other thing, I don't know why the Zimbabwe government didn't go in and finance this, because it would bring a lot of capital to their country. But I would like to see what happened there because, you know,
the technology that he's talking about, that can turn Zimbabwe into Dubai.
Yeah, bigger.
Yeah. Oh,
because,
actually, you know what? Bigger.
Yeah, because if it operates on radio frequencies, he really wouldn't have to leave.
Right. He really wouldn't need to leave Zimbabwe, because radio waves
exactly.
are all around. Frequencies are all around us.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, you know, even with towers and satellites, he could position satellites to send those radio waves to anywhere on the planet. So I wouldn't see why he would have to leave, but I'd have to, like you say, get some background on why he left, because look, they just could have snatched him up and with him being in a financial position that he might have been, they could have offered him, given him an offer that he couldn't refuse, because, you know, some people really have a way of persuading people to see their way of doing things and not give them anything. So, you know,
I'll
end on that note, but I'm really afraid for this gentleman.
Hey, I understand why. Well, we're going to pick back up on him. You know what? I'm going to pick back up on him tomorrow. And I'll move the other topic that because all we were going to do tomorrow was playing, but I'm going to move that to Friday. So I'm going to pick back up him as well as other stuff we just brought up in this short chat, tomorrow morning at our regular time at 10:30. So thank you for the input, Beasley. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.